Returning to Ephesians, be careful how y'all live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as y'all sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in y'all's hearts, giving thanks to the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. What you just heard was today's reading from Ephesians as translated in the y'all version of the Bible. Yes, that's a real thing, online at www.yallversion.com. Go there and you can choose not just the Southern y'all, but also use guys, said to be offered up for New Yorkers, yins for Pittsburghers, and more. I learned about the y'all version earlier this week in an article in the Christian Century. Catching a whiff of gimmick, my first reaction was a dramatic eye roll. A couple of breaths later, the air cleared, and I had to concede the author's point. The point is this. The Bible originated in Hebrew and Greek, languages that have different pronouns for you singular and you plural. Therefore, the pronoun choices of the scriptural authors get lost in our translations. This almost certainly affects our understanding of the text. If we want to understand better, then maybe we need to hear some y'alls. And we might as well begin with Ephesians. A bit of Bible study. The New Testament includes a total of 13 letters that were originally attributed to Paul. Scholars agree that, in fact, 7 of these letters were written by Paul, and 3 were not written by Paul. That leaves 3 letters about which scholars disagree, though the majority believes that they were not written by Paul. Ephesians belongs in this latter category. It claims authorship by Paul, but Paul probably did not write it. Ephesians was probably written at least 50 years later than Paul's letters. It's likely that a follower of Paul wrote the letter in Paul's name, which was then a common and accepted practice. It was a rhetorical advice, a device that gave the letter writer authority. For the most part, each of Paul's letters addresses a particular community in response to a particular conflict within that community. In contrast, Ephesians contains a more general message. It was likely intended for general distribution to a variety of churches. Since Paul, times had changed. The author of Ephesians interpreted Paul's message for those changed times. Times are always changing. In the history of Christianity, 2,000 years of it, times have always been changing. Sometimes we forget that. In our own era, it was 15 years ago that Gene Robinson, 15 years ago right now, that Gene Robinson was awaiting consecration as Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire. Bishop Robinson will forever be known primarily for being the first out gay bishop in the Anglican Communion. Note my emphasis on the word out. The people of New Hampshire elected Bishop Robinson in July 2003. The General Convention consented to his election, as they have to do, in early August. And by this date, a firestorm was brewing. By now, that firestorm has settled down into a slow burn, but we're still living with the larger questions. Our own friend Derek is in Malawi, in an Anglican diocese that is in closer relationship with one of our breakaway dioceses than it is with any of the dioceses that have remained in the Episcopal Church. I think that's one of the reasons why our continuing to be engaged through Derek and through Catherine is important, because it helps us to maintain a relationship with the part of the church that would attempt to remove itself. 10 years ago, after being the only Anglican bishop not invited to the last Lambeth Conference, Bishop Robinson offered this: "By the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are beginning to welcome those who have heretofore been marginalized or excluded altogether. People of color, women, the physically challenged, and God's children who happen to be gay. This is the God I know in my life, the God who loves me, interacts with me, teaches and summons me closer and closer to God's truth. This God is alive and well and active in the church, not locked up in Scripture 2,000 years ago. Having said everything that needed to be said, but rather still interacting with us, calling us to love one another as God loves us." If we're open to it, one of the ways that God interacts with us is through Scripture. I think sometimes in our busy lives, we tend to forget that. I know that I do. Today's passage from Ephesians might be a way to help us return. It's a beautiful portion of a lengthy instruction about how to be in Christian community. I won't say that Ephesians is not without its challenges, but it's also challenging to us. Ephesians is different from Paul's letters, but also similar in that it is about Christian community. It's about the church. You might say that it's about you singular in the context of you plural. If we listen carefully, we might hear it speak to us and to our lives today. Ephesians urges us to Christian unity. It schools us on to living lives worthy of our call to God through Christ. It exhorts us to intentional relationships with one another. And it reminds us to be grateful for the gift of life that we all enjoy. I hear a lot of y'alls in that. Now, maybe it's because I'm from the South that I'm a fan of the word y'all. The thing is, once you get used to using a plural you, it's hard to give it up. And maybe that's just as well. The times are always changing. And when it comes down to it, that's probably as it should be. With change comes opportunity. The y'all is us, and it's oh so much more. God is always calling on us to embrace the y'all, and God is always challenging us to enlarge our y'all. This church, this Christian community, this band of Jesus followers is but a miniature representation of something infinitely larger, something that is so far beyond our time and our place. Speaking of Jesus as the bread and speaking of communion as the bread and body of Christ and living in Jesus, when the time comes during our Eucharistic celebration, look around the circle that we will form. Look at what's there. But then imagine something else. Imagine what it represents, and imagine what it foreshadows. God is calling you singular and you plural to make that circle complete. Be filled with the Spirit as y'all sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in y'all's hearts, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of Christ. Amen.